Blog Talk Radio.
Every person listening, I want you to understand that no matter where you've been or where you might currently find yourself, it's not over. When God is in it, there is no limit. New breaking.
It's not over. It's not finished. It's not ending.
It's only the beginning.
Oh,
when God is in it, there is no limit. You have to know that. You have to believe that. You have to believe that when God is in it, there is no limit. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We are happy to have each and every one of you all. I'm excited about the Word of God. We're going to jump right into it. We got a lot to try to cover today. And, hey, all we don't get covered, praise God. You know, you have your Bibles, and the Spirit want to work with you as well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we come to you today in thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you, Father God, for your word, because it's in your word, Father God, that we learn that whatever we ask and not doubt but believe, those things will come to pass, we shall have whatsoever we say. So I thank you, Father God, for healing my daughter. I thank you, Father God, for healing her, because your word says if I ask you, it's going to come to pass. So I just believe it, Father God. I just believe that you are healing her physically. I believe, Father God, that healing is not a thing of the past. I believe, Heavenly Father, that miracles and healings are not just something of the past, like people teaching and people thinking, because, God, your word says that I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So I know, Father God, that you were the healer yesterday, you're a healer today, and you will be a healer on tomorrow. I thank you, Father God, that your works that I do, at least the work that we do, because Christ did it, we shall also do it. According to John 14:12, you promised, Father God, that the works he did, we shall do also. I thank you, Father God, that the authority is in the word of God. And because of your promise, it's in the word of God. It does take faith, even faith, Father God, as small as a grain of mustard seed. If we'll confess your word, authority over that body, I just believe, Father God, increase is happening right now as we speak. Increase, Father God, in her healing right now, that it will come to fruition, and she'll know it, and everybody else will know it, Father God, that you're healing. Jesus is the Lord of life. He's over sickness. He's over disease. No power is over us. So I'm forgiven. I'm free from sin and guilt. I am dead to sin, but alive unto your righteousness, which is your word, Father God, because Jesus bore our sin in his body. That's where it said, and on the tree. Therefore, I am dead to sin and alive unto you, Father God, because by your stripes we are healed. By your stripes we are made whole today, Heavenly Father. You bore it, Father God. So therefore, I give no place to sickness or pain, for God sent your word and healed them, according to Psalms 107:20. I know that for a fact, Father God, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling here. For you have given your angels charge to take care of us. So I thank you, Father God, for placing your angels. Also, I pray today, Father God, for Pastor Bell and her family. I pray and ask you to give them, every one of them, traveling mercy to deliver them, Father God, safely to their destination. We pray right now, Father God, that you will loose angels, ministering angels, to go before them and protect them and make the crooked way straight. The dark places, there will be light. Destructive power will no longer be in their path. I thank you, Father God, that you're going to build a hedge around them and protect them. Be that shield for them. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you will do it. Because you are a blessing God. You're a God who blessed and not cursed. I thank you for it, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father God, for strengthening me. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for strengthening my body in spite of what the devil say. It ain't over, Father God, till you said it's over. And I believe that above all of this that's going on, you are Lord, and I thank you for it. Give you the honor and the glory. And in Jesus' name, I pray. And everybody agree with this prayer. They said amen.
Amen, amen.
Thank you so much. Okay. Y'all kind of bear with me today. I want to take my time because I listen to the broadcast. And I know sometimes I get excited. So I got to learn to slow it down a little bit. Because the Word of God, it does that to you. It gets you excited. So we're talking about God's true grace. God's true grace. And we're going to pick it back up. I think yesterday we talked a little bit about grace come to us from God the Father. Over there in 1 Peter 5:10, that's one of the characteristics of God. That's God's nature. That should become our nature. I mean, I don't know about you, brothers and sisters. I want to do better. I'm not happy with who I used to be. I'm looking for revelation knowledge every day. I don't want to be the same person that I were last year. Because that tells me I haven't grown. I don't want to say the same thing the world is saying. So God says, you know what? Grace needs to be one of your attributes. And I said, Lord, I really need to see this in the scripture. And then he took me over there in Zechariah. So I'm going to ask Evangelist William if she'll read out the Messenger Bible. And we're going
yes,
to go to Zechariah. We're going to go to Zechariah 12:10. I'll read out the King James for right now, unless we say different. But Zechariah 12:10 is where we're going to go. But I'll say this. Grace come to us from Christ Jesus. The Son of God came full of grace and truth. So if he's full of it and we're in him, then we have it too. Remember John 1:17? John gave testimony of the grace that came by Jesus Christ. So when you got Christ, you're opening yourself up to act like Christ. God, you're opening yourself up to act like Christ. So the spirit of grace, not any kind of spirit now, but the spirit of grace comes from the Holy Spirit. The promise of the spirit of grace, not the promise of any, but the spirit of grace came according to Zechariah 12:10. I don't know if that's what I said or not, but in Zechariah 12:10, in the King James Version, it reads like this. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me who they have priest, and they shall mourn for him as one mourning for his only son, and shall be in the bitterness of him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn.
Amen, Pastor. Zechariah 12:10 from the Messenger Bible reads, now I'll deal with the family of David and those who live in Jerusalem. I'll pour a spirit of grace and prayer over them. They'll then be able to recognize me as the one they so grievously wounded, that piercing spear thrust, and they'll weep. Oh, how they'll weep. Deep mourning as as of a parent grieving the loss of the firstborn child. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. See, the promise of the Spirit is called the Spirit of Grace. The spiritual definition of grace, we dealt with a little bit the other day, but it's over there in Titus 3, chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. And we'll go there in a moment. But let me tell you, it's the Spirit of Grace. As a matter of fact, you know what? Let me read that now. Over in Titus, 3rd chapter, 4th and 5th verse. You know what? Maybe we should read the 6 and 7, too. I'll just have her read from the 3rd to the 7th verse. I'm just going to read verses 3 and 4, and she could read from the 3rd to the 7th verse. 3 and 4 says this, and listen, brother and sister, God wants us to understand this definition for the word grace. So he says in the third chapter, third chapter, in the third and fourth verse reads like this. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness of the love of God, that word's grace also, our Savior toward man appeared.
Amen. Amen. Titus 3 through 7 from the Messenger Bible. It wasn't so long ago that we ourselves were stupid and stubborn, dupes of sin, ordered every which way by our glands, going around with a chip on our shoulder, hating and hating back. But when God, our kind and loving Savior God, stepped in, he saved us from all that. It was all his doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath, and we came out of it new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Our Savior Jesus Christ poured out new life so generously. God's gift has restored our relationship with him and given us back our lives. And there's more life to come, an eternity of life. Amen, amen.
Amen. So God had promised to do this over there in the book of Zechariah. So over here in Titus, he reminds us that he did this because he reminds us how we were at one time. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish. We walked in disobedience. We were deceiver. We served driven lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Yeah, we were that way one time. Now, I can give y'all a lot of stories, but I thank God for giving me his grace, because I ain't always loved white folks. But God taught me how to love beyond the color of their skin. Now, some people still stuck there. And all I can tell you is you got to get more grace for grace. Just ask God to give you more grace. He'll give it to you. Because I just think that you won't be able to live in heaven or live with God or live with Christ with hate, with malice. And God had poured out his Spirit of grace upon us. He said, but after that, the grace and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. See, this thing has showed up now. So what's in us now, listen, brother and sister, is grace. God saved us with that grace. He used us with that grace. Now we're being birthed with that grace. We're being built up because it's through the Spirit. See, when you got born again, it was through his word. It was through his Spirit. So not in the Holy Spirit, and I want to be real careful, this is a spirit of grace. See, a lot of people get born again, but they don't have the spirit of grace. They don't believe in that unmerited divine assistance that comes from God. That sanctify people. It's a grace that sets you apart, because folks will be able to see it. People will be able to know, hey, that ain't normal. You know. Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all. God put that kind of kindness in us, an act of kindness. Yeah. Give you the victory over the flesh. See, if you don't have this in you, then you can't demonstrate that. So if you understand that, okay, wait a minute, that person made a mistake, and you understand it because you got the grace of God on your life to be kind, to be merciful. Yeah. That's what grace is. Same thing God dealt with you with. Well, we have to deal with other people the same way. And let me start with me. Maybe I should say I should have to deal with people that way, because I don't want nobody to be offended. But I'm just telling you, God expects for us to do this. There's certain things God expects, and a certain thing he doesn't. He expects for us to act like him.
Yes, yes.
He expects that. Now, I don't know what rock you've been up under, but Philippians 2:5, read that for me, evangelist. Now, if this ain't clear, God expects, he don't expect the world to act like him. So stop trying to compare the world with Christ. God don't expect that out of them. And you shouldn't expect that. So let them shoot up, kill up, because all that worldly stuff, let them do that. God don't expect anything else out of them. But with us, let me show you God's expectation for us. Read Philippians 2:5 for me, evangelist.
Philippians 2:5 from the Messenger Bible. Think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. Amen.
Yeah. You know how he thought of himself? He said, I came from the Father. I came to do the will of the Father. So what you see he did, he said, when you see me doing, that's what the Father do. That's how we need to think of ourselves. That's what he expects out of us. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. God expects for us to have that same mindset. When everybody else was accusing this woman, matter of fact, they came to Jesus with that mess. Said, hey, Jesus, wait a minute. Now, we're going to call this woman here. She's in the very act of adultery. She doing the thing here. She doing the thing. I mean, how else you going to catch somebody in the act? There's only two ways you catch people doing so. Catch something. They caught her. So only two ways you can do that. You either fish it for it, you're looking for it. But they caught her. See, whatever, they might put a bait out there. I don't know what they did. But they're like you're fishing for something. You're going to catch her, got to put something out there to catch you with. Well, they caught her in the very act. So everybody was around listening and looking at what Jesus was going to do. Like a lot of times people listening and looking at what we're going to do. Jesus didn't say a mumbling word. Come on, Jesus, now. You're a man of the law. You're a man of the cloth. You know, you're the son of David. What say you, Jesus? You don't talk this woman now. I mean, her panties was down. I mean, all that good stuff, okay? She was naked, put it that way. And he was naked. Now, y'all can read between some lines right there. But they was caught. But no ifs, ands, buts about it.
Amen.
And so Jesus stooped down, and he wrote on the ground, and he said, you that without... Because, see, they explained to Jesus the law. Because, you know, church folk good to do that. Don't worry about the worldly people. They don't even care. But them church folk good to do that. They're real good to tell you what the law said. So they said, Jesus, the law said we ought to stone him to death. Jesus still ain't said nothing. Come on, Jesus. Now, you know what the law is. And that wasn't really the law. What they quoted wasn't. But anyway, Jesus didn't say a word. They still want to harp on the fact that Moses said that we ought to stone her to death. See, they were still trying to live up under Moses' law. They didn't have grace and truth because that's who Christ was, and he demonstrated it right there. He just stooped down on the ground and began to write, they that are without sin cast the first stone. And they all turned and left. The Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes, they all turned around and left. And so Jesus asked that woman, where are thy accusers? She says, oh, I don't have none, Lord. He said, neither do I. Go and see in no more. See, that's the kind of grace God wants us to operate in. He expects that out of us. I don't know if anybody told you or not. He expects you to act like Christ acts in every situation. In every situation. And don't tell me that you can't act like him because he's giving you his spirit. He's giving you his mind. The scripture said in these last days, and believe me, I know these are the last days, that he was going to pour his spirit out upon all flesh. And then in Zechariah 10, he says, listen to what he said he's going to do, man. In Zechariah 10, I'm going to pour the house of David, that's us, and Christ, okay, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication. Man, I just ought to say, don't make me go to supplication. Because some of us, we walk around with no forgiveness in us at all. No thankful at all. No thanksgiving at all. But God has put his grace on us. That's what he put on us. That's what he put on us. He put mercy on us. Kindness. When would the body of Christ learn to be kind? And not looking for nothing in return. It's a shame to say. I talked to somebody this morning. They had no kindness in them. They want to be compared to the world. And I said, God don't expect that out of the world. He don't. So when we become humble and make a triumphant entrance into humbleness, instead of taking, let us ask. How about being humble? How about earnestly? Even to ask humbly. You know, a lot of time people don't get this word, supplication. There are times that we need to plead. We need to pray. We need to petition God about certain things, especially things that we don't understand. Listen, brothers and sisters. When will you take your relationship to the next level? I'm talking about your relationship with God. When is it going to go to the next level? When will you tell God, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to live in that grace. And not only live in it, because see, a lot of us, we just want grace for ourselves. And God said, no, well, I expect you to do this grace that I done poured out on you now. I done poured this stuff on you. I expect for you not to walk around all dressed up in the grace. I expect for you to use it. I expect for you to use kindness. I expect for you to be a blessing. I expect for you to be the benefit. Be a benefit to somebody. Not a benefactor, but to be a benefit to somebody. To be a blessing to somebody. Yeah, see, all that stuff there is in God's grace. He expects for us to show mercy. He expects for us to show favor. And I'm not talking about to family members and friends, you know. No, God expect that. Because you're to have the mind of Christ. This woman wasn't Jesus' sister. Wasn't nobody personal to Jesus. This woman here was caught in the very act of adultery. Don't say her name, and that's all. That's not important. But they brought her. They caught her and brought. Boy, I wish I had time to. Well, I could preach that right there. went through all that trouble to catch her. I don't know how long they stayed out, but they caught her. See, when you fishing for something, y'all, anybody out there been fishing, sometimes you don't have the right bait. Sometimes you don't have the, you're not in the right location. There's all kinds of stuff go with fishing. But if you're talking about catching something, you was fishing for it. And these men have caught her. So I don't know what kind of bait they was using. Maybe the other guys wasn't as fine, or maybe the other guy wasn't sure. Well, it doesn't matter. Whatever the bait was, they found it and they used it and they caught her. When they caught her, they brought her to Jesus. Just like you catch a fish and then you say, hey, there you go, Pastor. We caught this bad boy here. They caught her.
Amen.
And that ought to say something to we that are Christian. Listen, brothers and sisters, God expects more out of us than that. So the Bible says that in Titus, just to go there, in Titus, the third chapter, and the, I know she read to the, you read to the seventh verse?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. We should have an abundance of God's grace because it was shared among us. The Bible says in that sixth verse, he shared it on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. That being justified, the word justified means made right. We've been made right by grace. Grace is what makes us right. See, but we can only see what God did for us. What are we doing with that grace? Are you sharing it like the Bible said, which he shared on us, he put it on us. And he didn't do it just a little bit, he did abundantly, abundantly. And now I'm going to tell you something else about grace, too. Don't think because you got the grace of God, you got to be a fool. There's a lot of times you got to walk away from some things. You just got to, and then some things you don't even need to have an opinion on. I was talking to someone this morning. The Lord told said, just let that go. Don't worry about it. That's your past life. That's what you used to do. That ain't who you are now. Woo! Boy, they just don't know. I got excited about that because that's what God showed me. So a lot of things, you just got to let go. Don't even worry about it. You count your losses. Okay, fine, cool. You got over it. It don't matter. I'm not trying to hold on to that because, you know, it's easy to try to hold on to some stuff. But you got to get that spirit of grace, man, to let you say, you know what, that's fine. I'm cool with it. And then sometimes you have to see yourself in grace. You have to see what grace did to you. See, we were justified by his grace, made right. So grace can make things right. And then the Bible says this, too, if I'm correct. See if you can find that seventh verse in Titus 3 and 7. See if you can find that.
Yes, Pastor, one moment.
Okay.
Titus 3 and 7 from the Messenger Bible. God gives has restored our relationship with him and given us back our lives. And there is more life to come, an eternity of life. Amen, amen.
Yeah. That being justified, that's made right by grace. We should be made heirs. Woo! Listen, brothers and sisters, we are heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You're in this thing. You're in it. And you're in it to win it. We're heirs. We're heirs of this promise. The promise of grace. So we have to operate in that. No reason said this is a faithful saying. And these things I will, that they affirm. This
Amen.
Is what God has given us to operate in. So we're to operate in this kind of grace, in this kind of love. We're to operate in prayer. when we don't quite understand, because the Bible says grace and supplication. Well, we're to operate in that. Yeah. Yeah, we're to operate in that. God expects us to operate in that. So when we plead God, there's things that we don't go in prayer.
Yes, yes.
This is a request that God wants. Lord, help this person. Just like you would have a request for yourself, have that same request for somebody else that's in need. And at some point in time, you can't be like the world. God don't expect that out of us. But what he expects out of us is to operate under the grace of God, because that grace has provided salvation. Grace is the love and mercy of God in action. That's really what grace is, if you think about it. It's really, grace is the love and mercy of God in action. Because when you see John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Listen, brothers and sisters, the world's full of hell. Hate, malice. I can give you a whole list of stuff. But the Bible said God so loved the world that he gave.
Yes.
There's time that we don't want to do that. I understand how the flesh don't want you to do that. But at some point in time, we got to start operating in that grace. We can't be like the world. I'll tell you that sister this morning, she realized, hey, you know what? I'm going to let this go. And she just moved on. And there's time. In the grace of God, we got to just let it go. You don't have to talk about it. You don't have to elaborate on it. Just let it go and move on. And watch God's grace. Watch how God's grace operates. See, because it works both ways now. You know, the same grace that'll pick you up, it'll put you in your place. Do I need to go over here to Philippians? See, grace got to go to work for you. When you let grace work for you, you ain't got to worry about it. And we're going to put a pin right there, and hopefully if we don't do it Sunday, we'll do it Monday. But you got to see how grace will work for you. Grace will work for you in every incident. But you have to let the grace of God work for you. Yeah, it worked for you. So you got to put it on. You got to dress up in it. And then you got to let it shine over your life, going and coming. Whenever you go and come, they're going to see the grace of God, because God already done poured it out. He poured out the spirit of grace. And I'm going to say one more thing, then I'm going to leave it open. Anybody likes to have anything to say? One more thing to say about grace is you have to ask them for it. That if you don't feel like you're operating in that, you don't think you're operating in that area, just say, Lord, let me operate in that grace. In your grace. I want to be so much like you, Lord. I want to operate in your grace. See, a lot of people ain't trying to get there. They just want eternal life. They want to be saved. They don't realize we got to be like God, because he made us in his image and after his likeness. So at some point in time, you're going to have to go there. You're going to have to be like that. You will, because that's what is required of us, to operate like that. With that being said, anybody have any thing they want to share? Any scripture that might have come to mind? Well, the broadcast is open. Just press 1, and we'll let you in. Matter of fact, don't make me go there. Your words should be full of grace. Yeah. Bible said your words should be full of grace. You ain't got no business talking any other way. If God would talk to you right now, he would speak to you with grace. And then you ask yourself, am I speaking like that? Am I talking to God kind of talk? Am I talking with grace, supplication? Am I making provision? Or have you made provision for grace to be used in your life? But anyway, anybody have any comments? Anything you want to share? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. If not, we'll see y'all Sunday.